We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
Wow. Still get chills when you hear his voice and you hear his message as we honor the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. today, his legacy, what he stood for. And welcome to the show, by the way. Paul here. Jordana has the day off. She's out snowboarding somewhere out west. Not sure where she is. That's a need-to-know basis.
Hawaii, I think, is where they're. Right, yeah. Wasn't that it?
That's where I prefer to do my snowboarding.
I would think it's where you'd want to be.
Oh, man. Falling elegantly down the slope. But anyway, hopefully she's safe. She's out with the kids, and she'll be back tomorrow. I'll bet you she'll have some stories.
You think?
I think she will. I love, you know, he had so many great quotes, of course, talking about Dr. Martin Luther King. My favorite is, our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. That one has just stuck with me over the years. He had so many great quotes. Faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase. We're going to be talking more about Dr. Martin Luther King, his life, his legacy, his fight for civil rights. That's coming up at 3:20, and an interview you don't want to miss at 4:10 today. But first thing we want to focus on, were you in front of your TV yesterday afternoon when this happened?
Quick snap. Breeze. Passes. Complete, no flag for Tommy Lee Lewis. Talk to each other. Crowd's going crazy as there's no flag right on the Saints sideline.
I just started weeping.
Yeah, that wasn't my reaction.
I started weeping and then it turned into a chuckle and then a full-throated laugh.
I don't know. Do you believe in karma, Dan Cook?
I don't.
You do not believe in karma.
I mean,
you don't believe the universe even things out.
No, I don't think that's how it works. I do have a fear that if I do something like selfishly evil,
right,
that, you know, I'm going to walk out the door of the building and a piano is going to fall on my head.
Yeah,
I do have that
bus,
kind of irrational, right. And it's karmic in its way.
But that's Schadenfreude. That would be karma.
But in the strict sense of, you know, how karma works globally, universally, no, I don't believe in that.
Hmm.
I don't think that's how it works.
All right. Schadenfreude? I mean, I think that's,
I do
that's
have
part of the human condition.
Yes.
We're wired to sometimes take delight, to experience joy.
In the mishaps of others.
From other people's failings. And after what happened last year with the Saints, I don't know. It was hard to feel too bad yesterday for that call. Now, arguably, that was probably one of the worst missed calls in NFL playoff history.
On multiple levels, right? Because there were essentially two fouls there. You both had the pass interference. When the ball sails behind the defensive back, that's generally a sign he got there too early.
And then the helmet-to-helmet.
And then the helmet-to-helmet aspect of it. I mean, that should have been a
double win. Targeting?
I don't know how the NFL rules work in that regard, but I just know that there should have been at least two flags on that, and there were none, and that's a problem.
So had that been called,
presumably
the Saints would have won that game.
Won that game, yeah.
Right.
And not only the double whammy, but I mean, on that play, but then becomes the double whammy of, you know, they get screwed on that play, and then they lose on a 57-yard field goal, which is not a regular occurrence on any level
of football. That was a record, wasn't it,
and
for
that thing
an
would have
NFL
been good,
playoff game?
That thing would have been good from 67 at least. I mean, it was you know, easily over the crossbar.
They just were not meant to win yesterday.
Clearly.
And a lot of Vikings fans, I mean, based on some of the reaction I saw on Twitter and elsewhere, a lot of Vikings fans were just fine with that outcome. Even if you weren't a big Rams fan, just seeing the Saints lose, especially after what happened back in 2009 with Brett Favre and the allegations of targeting, spearing, injuring our players.
Yeah.
What was that called again?
Bounty Gate,
right? Yes. And again, that didn't really become public till what, 2011?
2011, I think, is when that came out.
But they were really trying to inflict injury.
Sure.
And were given bonuses accordingly.
And were likely not the only ones in the NFL. They were the ones that got caught.
They got caught.
Anytime you see cheating in a sport like the NFL or football in general, the odds are that, you know, the person that got caught was just the one that did it poorly and managed to get caught, and other teams are trying to do it. I go back, I mean, you know, Spygate, you know, the Patriots weren't the only ones that were looking at tape of other teams' practices. You go back to the Joe Smith contract with the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves were not the only ones promising contracts under the table, which went against NBA rules. They were just dumb enough to write it down and get caught. I mean, so the Saints weren't the only ones doing stuff like that. They just were the ones that got caught.
I don't know if you experienced frustration watching the games yesterday. Tom Lay at Deadspin summed it up best. He wrote, "Yesterday it felt like football was as damaged as it's ever been by its years-long transformation from a sport into a protracted legal proceeding carried out in front of thousands of drunk people."
It's a very colorful way of putting it.
Very colorful way.
Yeah.
Now, look, I mean, we have the instant replay. And yesterday, those refs, I mean, they made the meteorologists look good.
Yeah, they did.
And that is very, very hard. They made the economists. They almost made Congress.
Well, that's a Herculean task.
Maybe not. Congress. So let's not go there. But I don't know how you miss that stuff.
I don't. But, Chad was talking about this earlier on his show, and I agree. That I think to a great degree, the fact that we're all talking about the officiating today in the NFL and those games today is part of it, right? Is part of why people are so drawn into it. I'm not a huge NFL fan. They really turned me off with a lot of the ways that they handled previous scandals. I don't like the way they've handled Colin Kaepernick. I don't like the way they handled Ray Rice. I don't like the way they handled a lot of things. And so I don't watch as much NFL as I used to by a long margin. And especially in that second game yesterday in Pat's Chiefs, I was absolutely riveted by those football games. They were just fantastic games and dramatic and down to the wire.
They were both great games as opposed to last weekend. Yes.
Controversy creates interest, right? So the fact that people are freaking out about the officiating actually helps, I think, the NFL as a league and helps interest.
And I have such mixed feelings about this. I know we have to protect. We need to protect the players. We're trying to keep them from getting injured. I understand that. And the rules had to be changed, you know, no targeting, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But in the process of trying to get the plays right with instant replay, it just seems like the pace, the ebb and flow of the game has suffered to the point now where we're micromanaging. I mean, they took 10 minutes yesterday just to see if somebody's glove actually nicked the ball from 20 different angles.
Right.
And so it becomes something other than a football game.
You know, you can argue that. Here's my counter to that. If you looked at the ratings yesterday, and I haven't seen them come out yet today, but if you look at the ratings for yesterday's television, guaranteed those two football games are 1 and 2 in terms of top-rated shows yesterday. So I get it that maybe there's some early red flags that the NFL needs to pay attention to in terms of how they adjust things with their replay system, but it's not like people weren't glued You know, I often judge interest by, you know, what's going on Twitter. Timberwolves won a dramatic game yesterday on the last second shot by Derrick Rose. I mean, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was amazing.
It was a great finish, right? And there was maybe a couple of mentions of that on my Twitter timeline, and everything else was football. So, you know, I think the NFL's doing okay. I think the NFL's doing just fine.
At the end of the day, they don't care what we think.
As long as people, you know, buy tickets and, you know, pay attention to the TV and give them TV ratings so they can sign massive television deals. No, they don't really care what people think.
I want to talk to you when we come back after the break. I want to talk to you a little bit about the overtime rule, and maybe some of our trusty listeners will weigh in. Do you think it's fair how the NFL treats overtime in these playoff games? We want to hear from you when we come back on CCO.
New England tried to play action earlier. I can't see it here. This has to be a run.
Second and goal to Burkhead. Burkhead to the end zone. Hello, Super Bowl. New England is heading back again for the third straight year.
That's what a dynasty looks like. Oh, man. Yes. I couldn't help but pull for the Chiefs, but I'll tell you what, Dan Cook, it's hard not to have a grudging respect for Tom Brady.
I don't think it has to be that grudging.
And the Patriots. I mean, I was impressed. And I think even if you hate the Patriots, even if you hate what they stand for, the franchise, Belichick, everything, and they've had their issues, but how can you not be impressed by that team and what they have accomplished?
9 Super Bowls. This is the 9th Super Bowl that Tom Brady has been to, the Brady-Belichick era. 9. Nobody's even close to that. It's insane, especially in a league now that has specifically designed rules to keep teams from being able to do this. They've somehow figured out how to make it work.
And he won.
He's been to 8. This will be his
5.
He's won 5
He's
of the
won
eight.
5.
Yeah.
3 times voted the NFL most valuable player. Of course, we're talking about Tom Brady. 14 times Pro Bowl. 3 times first team All-Pro in 07, 2010, 2017. Twice NFL Offensive Player of the Year. NFL Comeback Player of the Year. He's been there 18 years,
yeah.
And he's gotten better over time. You could make a case that the second half of his career as a Patriot was better than his first half. And the guy's, what, 41?
Yep. And doesn't show any signs of really slowing
giving
down.
Hope to everywhere.
I he's the best ever. I don't know how that argument even exists anymore. As much as, you know, I grew up in the Joe Montana era. You know, name any other quarterback you want. I mean, there was always the back and forth between him and Peyton Manning. That's not close anymore. Not that it really ever was all that close. He's the best, period. End of discussion.
So there was some consternation discussion about the OT rules. I mean,
right.
It seems like so much depended on the flip and if you won the post-game coin flip. And you pointed out that, yeah, yesterday, you know, the Chiefs certainly had an opportunity to shut down the Patriots.
Well, everybody, when this happens, and especially in a playoff game, the team that wins the coin toss goes down, scores, ends the game. People freak out. Why is a coin toss deciding the game? The coin toss didn't decide the game. The coin toss created an opportunity for the game to be decided, but it didn't in and of itself decide the game.
But with the rule changes,
the rule changes actually make it even less of a point, right? It used to be that if you won the coin toss, win down, kick a field goal, that's it, game over. Now, if you go win the coin toss, go down and kick a field goal, the other team gets a shot at the ball. If you go down and score a touchdown, then the game's over. So it's even less decided by the coin flip than it ever was before. But the bottom line is, it's not like the Kansas City Chiefs didn't have a chance to influence the outcome of the game. They absolutely did. Make a stop. Hold them to a field goal, or prevent them from scoring altogether. You've done it previously in the game that you're playing.
But I would argue that with the changes that were meant to protect the quarterbacks, we've increased the potential for quarterbacks to actually march down the field and do exactly what Brady did yesterday.
You're right. The rule changes have led to more of a situation,
to
an easier situation. I don't know that the rule changes were specific. The rule changes were made and then couched under the terms of player safety.
Player safety.
But
and yet,
the
wink,
NFL
wink.
Has distinguished itself over and over and over again about not really caring all that much about player safety. But what the NFL does care about is making a lot of money, and what they see is that when these you have these back-and-forth track
meets, high-scoring games,
that's what people
fans
get
like
into,
that.
Right?
Yep.
So I think the rule changes are far more designed to score more points. So you're right. They've tilted the field in favor of the offense, no question about it. But not every game is 87-72 or whatever. I mean, defenses are able to make stops. That still happens. And so you can't say that the coin flip decided the game. You just can't. Kansas City had a shot to make a stop. They did, and they just failed to do it. New England out-executed Kansas City on that last drive and won the game.
So Tom Brady, and I mentioned this to my boys when we were in Chicago, and one of the few good things about living in Chicago, we got to see Michael Jordan playing in person at the United Center. A couple of games, some friends took us along, and I remember leaning over telling my two boys, this is as good as it's ever going to be. You are seeing history in the making. There will never be another Michael Jordan. And to some degree, I do feel a little bit that way when it comes to watching Tom Brady.
Well, and, it's difficult because the two games are so different to compare what Jordan did to what Brady has done. But just in terms of sheer volume and sheer numbers, 9 Super Bowls. I don't know that in our lifetime we ever see one quarterback go to 9 Super Bowls again. I can't imagine that happening the way that the NFL is structured. I can't imagine how it's happened now, but to have that happen twice would be truly astonishing.
And you can't really utter that sentence without also giving a lot of credit to Belichick.
Right, exactly. Right? You can't separate Brady from Belichick or Belichick from Brady. They're sort of tied at the hip.
B squared. All right. Well, thank you for just making me more annoyed, Dan. Dan Cook.
Happy to do it, Paul.
We'll keep this going. Hey, are you dating anybody at work? Yes, we have a call out. If you're dating somebody at work where you are currently employed, and if that's going well, give us a call. A number of companies are shutting that down. Just curious what you think. Should people be allowed to date where they work? That's coming next on CCO. All right, guess who? Look, for a long time you've heard me share one example after another about how my real estate agent, John Schuster, with Coldwell Banker Burnett, consistently sells homes at or over asking price. He did that with my home. Again, I go off results, and he got results. You are going to have a rare opportunity to learn some of the secrets that have helped hundreds of families in the last year sell their home quickly for the most money. I'm moderating another home seller forum with John this week that will show you, among other things, 3 things all sellers have to do to make the most money on the sale of their home, 5 pitfalls most sellers make, and also timing. Timing is everything. Timing that real estate market correctly so you can make a lot more money. This happens Wednesday of this week, 11:30 a.m., and Thursday, January 24th at 6:45 p.m. at the Plymouth Community Center, and also Saturday, January 26th, next Saturday at 10 a.m. at Braemar Golf Course Auditorium in Edina. If you're serious about making the most money for your home, this event gives you real tips from real sellers that produced real results. Space is limited. The last home seller forum sold out fast. Register online at johnschustergroup.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Okay. Not sure what to make of this next segment, but, every now and then you have to get out of your comfort zone and ask some awkward questions. Do you date somebody at work? Is that going okay? Is there any stigma? Was there any pushback from your boss who said absolutely not, or wink, wink? Just please don't let it interfere with your work or your productivity. Nearly 1 in 5 workers have dated a colleague at work at least twice during their career. 3 in 10 workers, 30% of workers ultimately married a person they dated at work. Intuitively, it just makes sense. You spend, 8-10 hours a day at the workplace. You're around these people. You get to know them.
See, I would argue intuitively it doesn't make sense because if you're already spending 8 to 10 hours a day around this person, why do you want to go home and spend another dozen around them? I mean, seriously.
You're either going to be attracted to that special someone or repulsed.
Not a lot of middle ground, probably. Yeah.
I don't know. I back when I was single, first TV job, I was 22, and I dated one of the interns. How cliche. One of the interns at this TV station who was cute. I mean, looked like a little Southern belle. Man, she was a holy terror. She was a hot mess, and I found that out after the fact, and we broke up, and it was a mess. Now, there were no rules at the time.
Right.
It was the wild, wild west where I happened to be working. But I can certainly understand, being involved in two businesses now, how a workplace romance gone bust could create fallout and create ill will. I mean, if you break up with somebody and then you have to work with that person or try to get along with that person, I mean, it does make it challenging. Have you had any experiences with this, Stan?
I have, knocking on wood somewhere here, I've never had a really truly nasty breakup.
Wow.
You know, in any of my relationships. It's always kind of just petered out.
Did you pay them off?
No, I don't make nearly enough money to do that. It was one of those things where the times that, you know, we've broken up with people, everybody sort of on the same page. It's like, yeah, this isn't working. We should just, you know.
And it
just,
that's why they call it dating.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
And there was only, but there's only one time I've worked here. It'll actually be 18 years next month that I've worked at WCCO Radio. And once I dated somebody that worked here part-time. Doesn't matter where they worked. Anyway, but it was a part-timer that worked here. And again, one of those things where it lasted a little while. As I got to know her, it was clear that our personalities didn't mesh the way that I thought that they were going to. And so it ended, but it ended rather peaceably. So, and by the time, I'm trying to remember, either by the time our relationship was done, she had moved on to another job, or shortly thereafter, she moved on to another job. So there never really was a situation here at work where it could get potentially even awkward, much less, you know, problematic.
I asked Mackenzie upstairs in Human Resources,
who I live daily in terror of, by the way. So,
well, you should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do not want to mess with Mackenzie.
I asked about the intercom, the WCCO radio policy. And she sent me this this paragraph, and I will just read you the first sentence. Intimate, romantic, and or sexual relationships between an employee with supervisory authority and any subordinate, including one not directly reporting to the supervisor, are strongly discouraged, Dan Cook. She actually inserted Dan Cook into that.
I don't know why she'd do that.
That's weird.
It didn't seem to be.
Such relationships, even when voluntary and welcome on the part of both employees, may result in conflicts of interest and or violate the company's policy against sexual harassment.
So strongly discouraged is one thing, right?
Yeah, it's not prohibited.
Not prohibited.
But you're kind of on notice if you decide to go down this path.
Yeah. And it's with Intercom, it's specifically supervisory people and worker bee type level people. If two worker bees want to date, that doesn't even enter into this policy, or if two supervisors want to date. But when you have somebody that actually has authority and
potential
power
over another person,
then that could be abused.
Yeah.
Especially in the Me Too era.
Harvey Weinstein.
Especially considering, and let's just be honest about it. I'm just going to go there, right? This is a company that previously was under the umbrella of CBS Corporation, to which we all got to watch a bunch of corporate training videos about not sexually harassing other people in the workplace that were usually introduced by Leslie Moonves, who turns out is one of the worst offenders we knew. I understand when it comes to supervisory and worker bee dynamic. But even in that case, Intercom's not saying, you know, we're going to fire you if you date somebody in that kind of situation, but we're going to watch it very closely is what they're saying.
Do you have an opinion on this at home or in your car or maybe in your garage, in your car? Call us 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Somebody said, I work at Pizza Luce in downtown. I don't date my coworkers or customers. It's just bad business.
And as a personal choice, people can make that. You know, that's totally fine. I get it. I, you know, if it's not a career job, and I'm not casting any aspersion on Pizza Luce whatsoever, but if it's not a, if it's a temporary job, if it's, you know, something that you're working at to get to something else, I don't know that I'd be as worried about it. But to whatever degree people are worried about it, that's up to them. The difference is, you know, if a workplace decides that fraternization is not allowed, that they're going to have some sort of rule that could affect your employment status should you start dating somebody else, that's where I think we get into trouble.
That is a slippery slope. Yes, I agree. Somebody says, one of our listeners, if the company's on the hook for any sexual harassment lawsuits, they definitely should be able to control workplace dating. Another person says, no marriage at work. Another person says, on the text line, I met, dated, and married the love of my life at work. We're coming up on 45 years of marriage this May. Congratulations. Another person said, I married my wife, who was and still is my boss. We are together all but 2 or 3 hours a day. We get along great. I told a taxi driver in Mexico that my wife was my boss, and he said, oh, yes, I understand.
Yeah. I was just going to say, are we talking at work she's your boss or just the boss in general? Because that would be every marriage.
I refer to my wife of 35 years, Lori, as my owner.
Yeah.
She is my owner. Yeah. And
somebody's got to be responsible for your behavior.
I wouldn't put that on anyone. Let's see. Anna, thanks for calling in today. Hello, Anna.
Hi, it's Diana.
Oh,
thank
Diana.
Well, I can relate to all of the above. I am the boss of my husband of 34 years. He likes to think he's my boss, but I'm his. We work together and own a restaurant. And that's only been going on for 4 years, but I think we have fought more in the past 4 years than we have in the 30 prior to that.
Okay.
It's not an easy task, but, you know, what are you going to do? You got to make a living, and we seem to complement one another, shall I say.
So you're running a restaurant now, Diana?
Yes.
What restaurant?
4 years. Actually, WCCO was just out to our place, Rinaldi's Pizza and Pasta in Woodbury.
Oh, sure.
We're the oldest restaurant in the city, and we're the oldest ones at work, so no chance of dating anyone at my job.
Now, do you have any rules at your establishment? Can your employees date if they want to?
Actually, it's kind of cute because one of our, they were seniors in high school and went to prom, and they're going on 3 years now. So, no, we don't, you know, to each their own. What they do outside of work is their own business, and so far it's gone well.
All right. Hey, Diana, thank you, and keep up the great work down there in Woodbury, okay?
Yeah, I'll keep my husband in line. Thank you.
Please, good luck with that.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Carrie in Woodbury, thanks for calling in.
My coworker and I were married 31 years ago, and we didn't work together anymore once we got married. But one time before we were married, we went on a vacation, and we came back, and we were going down one of those big, long escalators at the airport, and there was our boss standing at the bottom of the escalator.
Ooh.
Looking, yeah, like the Cheshire Cat, you know. But my now husband is so quick that he said, look who I ran into on the airplane.
Oh!
Yeah, he didn't leave us.
Was there a rule at your workplace that you guys weren't supposed to date, or were you guys just trying to keep this under
wraps? We were trying to be very secret about it.
Keep it on the down low.
Discreet, yeah.
Yeah, on the down low.
Carrie, do you have an opinion? Now, granted, I mean, you were able to navigate that, but in terms of if you owned a business, would you care if your employees dated?
You know, I would want them to be honest with me, and then I would also want to sit down with both of them and say, here's some guidelines, some parameters. Here's the dangers that I see that, you know, you date for a while, you break up, and then how does that affect the workplace? And so that you talk through it ahead of time, but definitely not in the supervisor, supervisee arena. That's not okay.
That's ripe for abuse. You're right. Well, Carrie, congrats on making it work, and thanks for calling in today. A couple of other quick comments. Let's see. 26 years ago, North Oaks Country Club, 4 couples married, family, and all 4 are still going. Another says, What about the anchors at WCCO TV News? Well, that's Frank and Amelia. Yeah, I don't know if they were. That's a great question, because Frank was over at Care 11 and Amelia was at CCO. So, again, that's above my pay grade. I refer to my wife as my parole officer. Okay. I met my husband 21 years ago at work, still together. Yes. All right. Anyway, hey, thanks for weighing in. Number of companies in different states are considering putting, especially in the era of Me Too and any perception of abusing a supervisor-employee relationship, companies are being extra careful with what they will permit. So that's why we brought up that question today. Coming up at 4:10, a very special interview with Peyton. She is a robotics champ and Lego master, part of an all-girls championship robotics team, and she's going to talk a little bit about Martin Luther King Day, and she had an amazing day. She has an amazing story to tell. First, it is now 3:50. That is Wicks and Jewelers time. Explore an exceptional collection of luxury jewelry and Swiss watches at Wicks and just off 35W in Bloomington. My favorite text of the day here so far. OMG, Paul, you're not thinking of dating Jordana, are you? The short answer would be no, I'm happily married. 35 years, Jordana's happily married. I don't think that's an option. She's my crazy little sister. Another person says, like another texter, I met the love of my life at work. At work, you see how they react to certain situations, what others think of them, what's their work ethic, how they treat each other. Happily married for 37 years. He died 10 years ago. I miss him every day. We'll be back with a very special interview about MLK next on CCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.